meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
How are you, buddy?
Doing good there, buddy.
Were you a Reuben fan?
How's the Nads doing?
They're a little achy, as a matter of fact. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Achy, breaking Nads, yeah.
Nice. You talking about American Idol?
Yeah.
I thought that Clay was a pretty good singer. I thought Reuben was a pretty good singer. I gave Clay, it's just Clay's so skinny, his pipes seem more impressive than Reuben because it's like a real skinny guy singing opera is more impressive than a big fat guy singing opera. So I gave him a few more points for that. But other than that, I don't really care who wins.
Yeah. No. I think Clay's got a huge, like, he'll be on Broadway in like 5 minutes, seems to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Who won?
Reuben.
Oh, Reuben won. Yeah. All right. Well, good
times. It was, you're in Los Angeles today. It was very hot.
Yes, it was hot.
Did that bother you?
Yes. I don't like it when it's hot.
I had the most strange experience. I was aware, you know, I share my disdain, my hatred for the hot,
yes,
for the heat with you. You and I have the same.
It's the only thing we agree on.
Yeah, we agree, but we agree passionately on this.
This is enough to keep us together.
So, something about my having been sick today, this last couple of weeks with the hernia operation stuff, made the heat not bother me at all. It was the strangest experience. Like, I was aware it was super hot, no problem.
Yeah.
It was strange.
When we had bigger fish to fry?
It didn't trouble me the way it normally does.
Well, had you...
I wasn't wearing a tie today. I thought, maybe that's it.
Was it because you were distracted, or is it just because you got a chance to put things in perspective, which is...
I think it might be perspective.
I know what pain is really like.
I think it's something along those lines.
Well, I'm gonna take a carpenter's awl and put it into my left ear.
It's good. It works.
For the summer.
He won't bother you a bit, then.
It'll be 108 degrees outside, but it'll be like, it is pretty hot, but again, there's blood shooting from my left side. So
that's what I'm talking about.
I'll focus on that.
Okay.
All right. I had a thought myself today.
Yeah.
I was watching, I don't know if what it was, Dateline last night or something, did this hard-hitting interview with Billy Joel about his boozing and his life and all this kind of stuff. And, the guy sold like 75 million records or something ridiculous. But Katie Kirk was doing this interview with him.
Sorry about that.
That's your phone?
It's been a while since I've...
Unacceptable.
Yeah. It's funny, because last night we were talking about turning your pager off.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Funny.
Hang up. You don't need to talk to them, Drew.
Don't worry.
You need to listen to me.
I am. I got you.
You're looking down. You got to look
up. I'm turning the pager off so I can get the...
Just hit the off button. That's all.
I'm doing it.
Really?
Yeah.
You got to stare at your belt for 20
minutes.
It's like
9 steps to shut it off.
Interesting. Okay. Anyway, Billy Joel.
Yeah.
So they keep interviewing him because he's checked himself into rehab. And I always think, I just start smiling when I hear these people talk because I picture what you would say, you know, when they go, well, you know, I went on a little bender and I got a little out of hand. So I checked myself in and now it's fine. I have a couple glasses of wine with dinner and there's no big deal. I still have the hard stuff.
Wow.
You know, it's that kind of talk.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone just does a lot of glad handing and head nodding.
They're
and
like, oh, good, good.
Oh, that's
job.
Great. It's off the hard stuff. So the whole angle is they want to know, you've been in two car accidents in two evenings in the last few months. What's going on? Are you boozing again? And because you've wrapped your car around a couple of oak trees here two times in a row with no, the guy lives out in the Hamptons or something. There's no traffic on the road. It's not like, you know, hey, it's not like a deer ran out in front of the car.
Right.
His thing is stone cold sober. Stone cold sober both times. And Christy Brinkley, his ex-wife, is trying to keep his daughter away from driving with him because her thing is I don't want her driving with you if you're driving drunk because you're loaded. So Katie Couric keeps pounding away.
That's
like,
good.
Were you drunk? So you were sober.
That's good.
It's all fine. Everyone's satisfied. Well, the guy was sober. He just happened to get into two accidents in a couple of months that had nothing to do with any traffic or anything like that. But here's my point. It's worse that you were sober. You're just flying off the road now. Yeah. There's nothing we can stop you with.
No, it means something. It means he's on other meds. He's doing something else.
I'm just saying, let's just take it from your strategy. You were completely sober. Now I'm having trouble with a guy who can't keep his car on the road. And by the way, sober is not something you can sober up from. You're just complete. You're sober all the time. So
well,
now your
brain
daughter.
Brain damage.
Or your brain damage. Yeah, this is like what it reminded me of what we yell at our callers, which is, are you drunk? Are you high? No, I'm not.
Are you stupid? Or are you?
You should be. You should be begging to be drunk or high. But no one ever pursues that. No one ever really thinks about that. And if you think about it, it's really true, which is, look, a guy who gets loaded and wraps his car around a oak tree twice a year, in my eyes,
he better be loaded.
He's loaded, yeah. But it doesn't make him a bad driver. Man, he was driving drunk. But what if you're just wrapping your car around oak trees and you're stone cold sober?
License boy.
But it could happen at noon on Sunday now.
That's right.
It's not just Saturday night. That's it happened any time.
That's right.
All right. I don't know why no one extrapolates it that way.
This is the number on my pager. That may mean something for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, it is something for me.
Yeah. So maybe you ought to want to call that.
All right.
It seems kind of weird I get that number, doesn't it?
It does seem kind of weird.
Yeah.
That's my home number.
Yeah. Do you want to call it?
Yeah, I do.
Go call it, and I'll do the phones.
Okay. I may have a possible emergency brewing here, so Drew, you just take the first call. Let me put that call in.
There you go. Ooh, what's that?
Hi, this is Adam. Please leave a message.
All right. Here is Kathy, 19. Kathy.
Yeah?
Hey, what's going on?
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Well, okay. I've had some bad relationships with, like, every time I've had a sexual relationship with a man, it's ended bad. And, like, it was a one-night stand, you know, stuff like that. And now, whenever someone hits on me, I just completely choke up and don't, you know, I totally shut down and want to be away from the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't ever, like, meet anybody because I don't know why. I just,
Well, more about your history and all. Now, you're how old now? You're 19.
Yeah.
When did you lose your virginity?
17.
When you were 17. Mm-hmm. And everything was going okay in that relationship?
No.
What happened with that?
I met the guy that night, and he's in his mid-20s, and I don't even know his last name.
That was just one night, and then pow, it was over.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was kind of over. I had a miscarriage.
Woo! So there was a whole lot of stuff going on in relation to this.
Yes.
So, have you had sex since then?
Once.
How'd that go?
It was a one-night stand, too.
Is there anything about these sort of abandoning relationships, these abandoning experiences with men that would bring back something from your past? You know what I mean?
I don't know. Like, I have somewhat of a dysfunctional family, if you want to say that.
Let's hear about it. What's the deal?
A lot of alcoholic.
You okay?
Abusive relationships.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, my wife's niece got a part of her finger cut off at camp or something.
Oh my God.
Wanted to do a reverse amputation. I don't know what that reverse amputation means.
Put it back on.
Oh, that's reverse amputation? I guess it is, yeah.
Yeah?
That seems like a plan.
Yeah.
I gave my okay.
You had to have a approval or something for that?
I don't know. She wanted to talk to you. She got the Dr. Marcel, the plastic surgeon, on there.
That's good.
Yeah, I said he's better than you anyway. Yeah. Although he's probably trying to pick her up right now.
Want
to do a little
problem?
Tootski?
Yeah.
How about a little bump? Take the edge off. You
wow,
come
that's
by?
Scary.
What's
that's
Adam?
Very
come
smart
on.
Of your
What's
wife
Adam
to page me, though, right? That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mixed.
Yeah.
All right,
so we're talking to Kathy. Kathy shuts down when she meets men. She's real closed down. She's had two sexual experiences, both one-night stands. Really no relationships, though, right, Kathy?
No.
And has a kind of a... She was just starting to tell me about how crazy her family is. There you go. Go ahead.
My father is, like, kind of a closet alcoholic, if you want to say that.
Was he abusive with you or anything?
No. But, well, my mother can be abusive.
Okay.
All
right. So...
All right. That drew on board.
All right. Well, the deal with Kathy is she needs to go to Al-Anon or Adult Children of Alcoholics, something like that, where she can do some work and look at what the impact of having had an alcoholic dad has had on her. She has an aversion to closeness. She can't be close. And when she is close, it's sort of acted out sexually with guys that are abandoning.
Mm-hmm.
And she needs to break that pattern by developing a real close relationship with someone. And that's only going to happen in sort of a therapeutic
good
frame.
Times. Now,
or get a therapist.
Look, you don't want to talk to Heather over here. You got a threesome call over here. Heather's going to end up the same as Kathy.
No.
Or whatever her name is. Misty.
Yes.
There we go. See? 17. What's up, Misty?
I had a threesome almost 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not really enjoy it too much. I thought it was two girls and a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it out of curiosity. And
sure.
I was not doing things with girls, but my friend, she must have loved it because she has been hitting on me so much, and I'm so not interested in her.
Yeah. Who was the guy? Your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Your boyfriend of how long?
3 months.
3 months. And the girl was a friend of yours, but not a good friend of yours?
She's a pretty good friend.
Pretty good friend.
Is she lesbian?
I didn't think so.
All right. You know, this is the deal with threesome.
Well, hold on. I want to get some details first.
All right.
Did your boyfriend get to do anything with her?
Yeah.
What'd he get to do with her?
Anything he wanted because he wanted to do...
It's his birthday. It's his birthday. Why not?
He wanted to do it with a guy also, like a guy and a girl, but I didn't want to see him with a guy, so I said, you know what, you can do it once to her, but I'm not letting you up bring a guy in this because the idea of seeing him...
This is a very bold strategy because, you know, he probably was a pure penis bluff. Like, really, I'd like to teabag the guy and then do a little light felching. And the girl's like, oh, come on. No, I'll just get a chick in here.
And you can do whatever you want. Just don't.
I don't know. I got a hankering for some dork.
No. Anything you want. Honey,
I
anything.
I didn't think he'd do too much. I was pretty sure he'd, you know.
What did he do with her?
He gave her oral.
That's it, huh?
Well, he seemed to be going all over her, but...
He what?
You know, he was touching her all over. She's a very big boob.
Misty.
Yeah.
You're having trouble telling us what happened.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He said that he went down on her.
But then he was really more...
Then he felt her... How big were her boobs?
She's a double D.
Double D?
Yeah.
How big's the rest of her?
She's 5'3", actually, but she's pretty thin. I'm thinner than her.
Wow, that's a hell of a combo. And so he didn't have sex with her?
No, only with me.
Only with you. But he gave her oral sex. It seems it would be low on my list of threesome things to do. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I was trying to end it early because it started just me and him. She sat down. It was kind of weird. I've never done a threesome.
Did you do anything with her?
Yeah.
What'd you do with her?
That's what she liked. That's what
she went down on me, and I went down on her.
All right.
Her girlfriend didn't like the guy. She liked her. Well, here's the deal with threesomes. First of all, you never can predict the feelings that are going to be created. It's not as people make it out to be some sort of like afternoon recreation. It's like, you know, going for a bike ride in the park, or we can have a threesome. It's all the
same
thing.
I know. I was so curious.
All right, but listen, that's fine. But there's all sorts of very heavy feelings generated from these sorts of experiences. Some of them very positive, and you get attached to people you don't want to be attached to.
Yeah.
Or some of them very negative, because you see somebody doing something that flips you out. And you've got both.
Let me say this. You've got your girlfriend now completely into you,
and you got your boyfriend. You're flipped out about him being
cares?
All over.
Oh, I don't care about my boyfriend.
She doesn't care. But look, listen, what about this? How much curiosity can there be? I mean, you're female, right?
Yeah.
You have female genitalia. You don't have to wonder about what it's like to touch female genitalia, what it looks like, what it feels like.
No, shut up.
Now listen, everybody. Women always do that. I was curious what it was like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, any woman who's had a guy go down on them knows what the sensation of a tongue on their clitoris is, right?
Yeah.
And the parts you have is the parts like... I'm not curious what a guy's dork feels like. I got my own dork. My hand's on it right now. Do you know what I'm saying?
It never comes off. What are you talking about?
Well, sometimes I scratch my ass.
Yeah.
But here's my point.
Yeah.
How much curiosity? Like, you know what it's like to have, Drew, you know what it's like to have a female's mouth on your penis?
Yeah.
Are you extra curious what it would be like to have a male's mouth on your penis, or do you think you just know what it feels like to have a mouth on your penis?
I think a mouth is a mouth.
And do you need to know what your penis feels like when it's a penis feels like when it's erect?
No,
you feel it every morning when you're whizzing in the sink.
No.
I don't understand the curiosity part. I know it's an emotional thing for women.
It's an emotional thing, and some people are novelty seekers.
All right. So anyway, listen, Misty.
Yeah.
All right, so big deal. You got out of here unscathed. I mean, you and your boyfriend are still together.
Well, I broke up with him.
Okay, you broke up.
See?
Well, she never liked him. Why'd you break up with him?
Because he's just a little... my mom's a fortune teller. No, not a fortune teller, a tarot card reader. And
your mom?
Yeah. And he kept on being like, can she read my fortune? And I don't like having...
Hold on a second. What language is she speaking?
It's supposed to be English.
Is the cadence?
There's a lot of slurring.
You know what Misty's like? No. Misty are like these assholes who leave their number on my phone machine in the wrong cadence.
Yeah.
Kennedy from MTV does this.
Yeah.
She goes, I almost have to write it down to do it, but she'll go, all right, call me back at 331-576-3. And you go, okay, that's the wrong cadence. I got no cadence now. I have to listen to it 30 times. Yes. Even though all the numbers were said, I don't know what it is because I don't know what the cadence
is. Supposed to be 334.
Suck my white balls.
That's right.
Thank you,
that's exactly right. I think Misty speaks in a cadence we can't understand. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. All right, Misty.
I'll try to clear myself up.
We don't care. You broke up with the guy. That's fine.
Okay.
You don't have to have sex with this girl if you don't want to. That's fine too.
But what do I say to her? Is she not into it?
Just blow her off.
Okay.
You just blow her. You just shine her on. I'm not a lesbian.
It's easy.
Yeah.
I don't like girls.
You do what you do. Like, what are you doing this weekend? I'm pretty busy. You just keep walking.
Afraid of that? They know what it means.
They're experts. Experts.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to Mike, who's 17. Mike.
Yeah.
What's up?
I was just wondering if Adam was the voice of the Grim Reaper on Family Guy.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Whatever.
That was like the best episode.
Thank you.
Your poor mom. She's probably like that in real life, I bet.
No.
No?
She doesn't talk as loud as that woman does.
No, well, I got a question.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Let me say this quickly about the Family Guy.
All right.
I love that show, as you know.
Yep.
And here's the deal. Hollywood is full of horrible scripts, and they make you do everything 1,000 times. Family Guy, I walked right in there. I did it. Took me 10 minutes. I went home.
Wow.
I don't think I ever did anything more than once. And any changes I wanted to make, they said, fine. And it was probably the best voiceover cartoon I've ever done.
Yeah, it's on that network now.
Yeah, I love it. I love that show. And Seth MacFarlane, the guy who does it, did some Crank Yanker calls with us this year, and he's just a genius. He's really funny.
I think to myself, my God, wouldn't it be marvelous if I turned out to be homosexual?
Oh my God.
Same guy does that voice, does the dad.
Yeah.
And that's pretty rangy for a guy.
Love Stewie.
All right. Well, anyway, what's up there, Mike?
All right, man. My dad left my mom about 14 years ago. You know, they split up and he went to wherever he went to, and my mom moved down here to Florida with her new husband.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here now, I'm almost 18. He tries contacting me again, and he calls my house. Somehow he got the number here. You know, what do you think he's trying to gain?
He's making amends. He's in recovery.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah, this may be what I was talking about the other night. He's on stage 6.
8, 10.
8 or 10 of recovery, which means call everyone around them, make them feel uncomfortable.
Right.
When's the last time you spoke to him before this?
14 years ago.
You were three. You spoke to... What did you talk about?
NAFTA. the upcoming NAFTA trade agreement. And I think the RICO Act, I think, was brought up.
About that time, yeah.
Was he an alcoholic? Yeah.
Yeah, and he used to beat up on my mom. And
yeah, he's probably
so. He's calling now. He's sober and he's apologizing or what?
No, he just says he wants to try to get back into my life again.
Well, there's two possibilities. Either he is sober and he's trying to reconnect with important relationships and or make amends, or he's further down the disease and he needs money, and he wants to manipulate you.
Well, see, he owes my mom about $30,000 in child support that he never paid.
Yeah. But look, here's the deal, Mike. You don't sound ready
for him.
For him.
No, I'd probably kill him.
And I think it's okay for you to say to him, look, I appreciate what you're trying to do, and I'll give it some thought, but I'm just not ready for it right now.
Right.
And why don't you give me a buzz in a year, 6 months. We'll see if it's any different.
Yeah, my mom took it really hard.
The fact that he called or the fact that he left?
The fact that he called.
All right.
Well, on the other hand, if the guy says, hey, man, I'm sorry, I've been sober, I found Jesus Christ, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's what he said, but I'm not buying it too well.
He's sober now?
He's sober in that he goes to church and that Jesus told him to call me, and he talks to Jesus all the time.
Now he's just a different kind of nuts.
Yeah, that's not sobriety.
Yeah. See, what happens is before you're high, and then that just gives way to nuts when you actually have the conversations with Jesus. You know, something that's on the same topic I thought was interesting today is Jim Fossil, the coach of the New York Giants. The head coach went and found his son that he gave up for adoption 35 years ago.
Oh, yeah, I saw that picture, yeah.
And I thought for the son, like you said, it was funny. This is what made me think of it, is like when you said, look, he wants money. He wants something. Like, normally, you got some guys, like some sort of hermaphrodite junkie who once had a sex change and wants to borrow some money to go back to where he was, wants to get his penis back or something. But you got a guy who shows up amputation. Like, yeah, I'm your dad. You're not my dad. You're the coach of the Giants, dude. That's right. I'm your real dad. Holy yes. Yeah. Can I go down on the sidelines? Like, yeah, come on down. And here's your new Giants jacket. You want to be the long snapper for the team, son? Or you want to kick extra points? Come on down.
This is the equivalent to rich uncle you've discovered.
You can stand on the blocking sled while Strahan pushes you around the field. Like, that would be I'd be right. All would be forgiven, by the way.
Right there.
Yep. Okay, Pops, when we start training camp, this is going to be great. Season tickets. All right, so it's got to be kind of freaky, right?
Yeah.
And I wonder if the guy knew. I mean, no. I don't know if he didn't know his last name. He didn't know his, must not have known his last name. Maybe he thought maybe there was some resemblance.
They didn't look that much. Did you see the picture?
No.
They don't, no.
I don't know where the guy lived. What city did the guy live in? I wonder, he's a 35-year-old guy. There's a good chance he's probably a football fan, you know? Mm-hmm. Be curious. Not a football fan, Brian says. All right, Brian, come on. Keep your head still, would you? We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to speak to Rick. Rick's 19. Can't come when he gets a BJ. Did once, but took 45 minutes. Wants to know why after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All righty. Let's get back to the phones.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Rick, who's on line two. He's 19 years old. Rick?
What's going on?
What's happening?
Not much. All right. When I get a BJ, I don't come. I have once for... Well, it took like 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if, you know, why it took so long or...
Mm-hmm.
You've only had one once?
You may have a bad nut.
How long does it take you when you masturbate?
15 minutes.
15 minutes. How long?
Hold on. 15 minutes is a lot of beating off.
How about if you're having sex, how long?
Half hour.
Half hour.
Half an hour.
So this is the same range.
Ask me the same two questions.
How long does it take to have an orgasm when you're beating off?
Fifteen minutes.
How about when you're having sex? Yeah.
Half hour. Like, is he dying? Do you think he's dying? Rick?
Yes.
What'd you do? Just take a Quaalude and a fifth of Stoli, or what's going on?
I have no idea. I don't take anything.
I understand. I know. No, you get on the radio, get that surge of adrenaline. Adrenaline. You just got, and you're just a little nervous, buddy. Calm down.
All right.
Okay. So this is just the way you are.
Okay.
Your nuts dance to the beat of a slower drummer.
Also, they don't like the oral sex.
They don't like it, just like Drew, who's a man of exquisite passion. And Rick may be a very passionate man, too, although I don't, it doesn't sound like that's his problem.
He doesn't have that passionate edge.
He sounds a little slow.
Yeah.
Rick?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
What do you do for a living?
I work in retail.
Retail. What do you sell, like tractor parts?
Shoes?
Pots and pans, you know, housewares.
Yeah, you work at a department store?
You could say that.
All right. Thanks, Rick. Yeah. Very intriguing. Okay, Rick, we don't care. That's just you. That's the way you're cut out. You don't like the BJs.
It doesn't mean anything. It's just,
that's right. Yeah. You're fine. Kitty?
Yes?
You're 25?
Yes.
What's up?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm a Vicodin addict, right? And I've been off of it now for, about a month. I've been on methadone treatment, and my concern is my sex drive is just like died.
Well, that's methadone. You just switched from one opioid to another, and now you're on methadone, and methadone has lots of side effects: so sleepiness, dog drop in sex drive, urinary problems. So that's
Are they using methadone more and more now for Vicodin?
They're using methadone.
Yeah, they are.
There's a whole school of thought that harm avoidance is the way to go, that you can't treat opiate addicts, that they just relapse, and you should just put them on a methadone and forget.
Is an opiate an opiate? I mean, isn't it harder to get someone off heroin than it is to get them off Vicodin? Or are they the same?
They're roughly the same. Just the heroin addicts tend to take more of it. But it's
well, who does?
Heroin addicts.
Oh, okay.
A big-time Vicodin user, a 50 to 100 pill Vicodin a day user, will have a horrible.
And that's just an opiate, and that's it.
And that's it.
Okay. No,
nothing's worse than methadone, though. No. That's the worst to get off.
All right. Well, it's not really meant to get off, is it?
Nope.
What?
Kitty?
Yeah. So, oh, my God. That's shocking. See, my concern was that I was going from one addiction to another, and that's exactly what I didn't want to do. And they're, like, really encouraging this whole.
Well, there's a school of thought that that's the way to do it. But if you're really serious about getting well and want to get into recovery, that's a different thing. You can still get off the methadone, but you got to go into a program. You got to have to spend several months really focused on this.
Well, maybe wean her off the methadone with some Vicodin.
I actually thought about doing that. But okay,
I have patients do that kind of thing.
Vicodin.
Good times.
That I was having withdrawals so hot that I was having PVC, I think they're called.
Yeah.
All right.
Those won't hurt you. But be that as it may, you might want to check into a program that really comprehensively treats addiction.
Yeah, listen, everybody, with the Vicodin and the heroin and the opiates, it's just there's nowhere to go but down. There's just no possible and just horrible, horrible addiction and withdrawals and massive pain. Just why get started on that one?
It's the king of addiction. It's the worst addiction process.
Kathy?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up?
Although,
how come speed seems to have a lower instance of being able to beat it? You know what I mean? The statistically, speed is like the worst thing to get on or to get off. Why speed?
I'm not sure that's true.
I just saw some documentary on it and said that the, you know.
It's not so much the recidivism is getting them in. Because they maintain it for long periods of time before they get into trouble.
All right. Go ahead, Kathy.
And they often switch around to something else.
Okay. Me and my boyfriend have this mutual friend. And we've all been, you know, discussing, you know, having a threesome or whatever. And when we get to the point where we actually do it, she, like, freezes up.
She has a moment of sanity.
Well, that's when you get her.
Well, we're just wondering if there's a way to get her to, like, be more relaxed.
What do you mean freezes up? What happens?
Like, she engages in it, but then she, like, freezes up and then wants to stop automatically.
How far is she into it before she stops?
Like, halfway into it. Like, just getting
what
to
do
the
mean
point
halfway?
Where she's getting
look,
off.
Look, if somebody freezes in response to a highly sort of evocative situation, can be a trauma survivor. And this can be sort of a re-traumatization. It's a bad idea for her to get involved in this if she's actually having a true freeze reaction.
I agree with Drew. You got to juice her up. And I'm going to get a little booze in her. Kathy, I'm having trouble understanding this exactly.
Okay.
I don't know what getting halfway into a threesome is.
And I don't know what freeze means.
And I'm not sure what freezing up means. Is she totally naked?
Okay, she's totally naked. Like, all of us are, like, completely naked.
All right.
We're getting into everything.
And everybody's, in like, having oral sex with each other.
Yes.
So that's more than halfway in. That's in.
I'd say it's more than just your big toe in the shallow end of the threesome pool.
Could be, yeah. Could.
Yeah, your balls are in there, too.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And you guys are all getting into it, and then she says, I have to stop.
She just was like, well, I don't know if I'm going to do this anymore. But then she wants to start up after we stop.
So then you stop, and she wants to start up again, and it happens again.
Right.
Yeah. And meanwhile, you do what with her? You get a little oral sex from her?
Yeah, like, I go down on her, she goes down on me, and my boyfriend does both.
Oh, he goes down on both of you guys?
Right.
Does he get any oral?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Both.
All right, it's good. From both of you guys.
Yeah.
Wow.
Where?
I wish my ladies would have frozen up about that point, like the post-oral point.
Just stopped. Left.
Yeah. I've had enough of this. I've been blowing you for the last 40 minutes. Okay, listen, Kathy, she's not into it.
Okay.
She's a little freaked out. Okay?
Okay.
I mean, what do you want? How badly do you want her to do something she really doesn't feel like doing?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you could get her good and loaded and sort of, you know, knock her into it a little bit, but then she'd just be, she'd kind of resent you.
I'm curious, what did you think we were going to say?
I wasn't exactly...
Blackjack and some duct tape, maybe a little elephant ether? Tranquilizer, ether rag.
What did you think?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Just thinking maybe there's, like, something that we can, like...
Well, okay. So you wanted Drew to go, like, you got to finger bang this chick real hard. Then you got to give her a couple wine coolers and put some Al Green on, okay? And if you could smoke a little herb, that'd be cool, too. Okay, but really work her hard downstairs, you know what I'm saying? And then have your boyfriend C-flog her, okay?
How old
and
is she?
And then you go for the anal.
How old is she?
Is that what you want Drew to say?
Yeah, exactly.
She's 18.
Yeah, come on.
All right, you're 21. You got this kid. What are you hanging? And by the way, 21 and 18 doesn't sound like that big a deal, and it's not that big a deal if like some 18-year-old chick's dating a 21-year-old dude, but you're 21-year-old. You got your scuzzy boyfriend, and what do you hang around with her for?
Just because I do.
What's your boyfriend
well,
do?
Well, now I understand. Why didn't she just say that in the first place?
Yeah.
He just does whatever. He doesn't really do anything.
He doesn't work.
Not in his situation, no.
What is his situation?
And
give us a specific answer.
He's an inmate.
He's an inmate?
Mm-hmm.
How does he get to have threesomes when he's in the joint?
This is before he went in there.
Oh. Well, when's he getting out?
88 days.
Okay. And what's wrong with you?
What's wrong with me?
Yeah, I mean, just pure white trash?
No.
What do you mean?
Part white trash. Mostly white
trash. Come on.
There's nothing wrong with me.
What's going on with you? You guys don't have any kids, do you?
No.
Oh, huh?
Phew.
No.
What happened? You gave one away?
No, we had a miscarriage, okay?
Good. Good. Oh. It's the best thing that could have happened to you and to society. What?
Not really.
Yeah.
Yes.
You got a boyfriend who's in the joint right now.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Anyway, Kathy, don't have any kids for a while, would you? And
do
leave
I know
this 18-year-old.
Parole
no,
violation.
I know what he's in. Yeah, parole violation. Yeah. That's why he's in, right?
Right.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
He was just born on a parole.
There was never a primary crime.
No.
Never original crime.
Certain percentage.
There's original sin. That's what I'm parole for.
Most people who call this show were born into parole.
That's the concept, original sin.
That's
Where
right.
Where do you think that comes from?
That's right.
They're just guilty at birth.
Yeah. Keep trying for those kids. This poor 18-year-old with these scuzzy white trash. All right. Megan?
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, close your eyes and picture this couple. They're probably doing it on some chewed-up waterbed with a bunch of dog hair on it, like one of those stretched-out 7-Eleven, 7-Up bottles with like a dead rose in it somewhere in the corner, and a little Leonard Skinner playing on the totem play. And it's not that she's not so...
Totem play.
It's not that she's not into the threesome. It's kind of like she's probably sobering up and looking around and going, this guy smells.
Mm.
All right,
Megan, 18, what's up?
Yeah, I've been with my boyfriend for about 7 months now, and, you know, we're pretty serious, but I can't help but have this curiosity about sleeping with somebody else.
Is this the first guy you've ever slept with?
No, he's the second.
Is he your first boyfriend?
No.
All right, well, you're not...
You're not done.
Two choices. Yeah. Either you're screwed up or you're not in love with him. You're just not that into him.
Yeah, you're sort of...
You're 18, you've been with a guy for a few months, and you're thinking about being with other people. You're
That's
not
fine.
Into him.
That's fine. It's okay to want to be with other guys. You're 18, but you're supposed to date other guys.
But you're not into him. It's not that you're so much into other guys. The other guys is
well, she may be aversive to closeness or something. You know, we talked last night about how 18, 20-year-olds sometimes sort of naturally don't want to get too close. It's sort of protective.
Yeah. All right.
Well, we're in love.
Yeah.
I love him.
Oh, I'm convinced now.
No, I love him, but...
No, you don't.
I do understand what you're saying, because every relationship that I've been in has been kind of serious. Never really had fun.
All right, what? I
don't next
know.
Caller!
What goes on? What's going on tonight? People are sort of, are they playing a Game Boy and talking through a tube sock into a bad phone on the roof of their house? So they're sort of half interested in the call. They're losing interest in their own question.
Like they're building something while they're talking.
Yeah, there's a ship in a bottle that's being built in front of them. They're like, no, we're in love. They're just sort of coasting to a stop. Like, what's your question? Hold on, I'm not done with this, Megan. Listen, what happened to you? Somebody molest you? Did you hang up? Smartest thing he ever did.
Oh, see, she has some health.
Yes, she's got some dignity. She hung up on my nappy-headed ass. Okay, listen, I don't want to talk to anyone's on a Quaalude who just polished off a fun-size tub of NyQuil and who's watching the TiVo'd American Idol.
Yeah.
Who has no interest in their own question. And by the way... Not even any questions, really. I got this girl, she has a threesome, but then she kind of, she blows half my boyfriend's inmate dork, and then she gets bored. Okay.
Huh?
Real questions. Real questions. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Love line, madam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right. Let's get it going, Drew. What do you say, buddy?
I get some good calls.
Hop back the phone. Speak to Daniel.
Oh, there's a good
24.
Good phone line
right
away. It's great.
What's up?
Hey, what's going on? I have a question, or it's kind of like a statement at the same time. I was wondering what's a good tip for you guys to give on a nice fine dining experience with wine, dessert, the bill's $85, $90, maybe $150. What is your guys' tip on those dinner experience there?
What percentage?
What?
Yeah, especially if it was good, bad.
No,
20%.
They usually about 20%.
Yeah.
Okay.
I here's what I do. He's got a bad line. I will tip more. If I go in and have $8 worth of eggs, I'll leave them $5 just because who the hell wants to get 20% of eight, $1.60.
Yeah.
That's no good. So I'll do that. But on the other hand, I'm not into, I'm not into the big thing.
The big tips?
Here's what I'm saying. You got some waiter at you go to a nice restaurant and you go there with a group of five or six people.
Yeah.
You run the tab up to like $600-$700.
Yep.
The waiter's been waiting on you guys for about an hour and a half, and they also have three or four more other tables.
Mm-hmm.
You got to drop. You got to drop like $100 and change or whatever it is.
Yeah.
They don't need to make $300 an hour.
Yeah,
like they're not attorneys.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
I know I sound like old man Corolla here, but. Here's the way I look at it, and this is what makes me a prick. The whole time I swung a hammer, I made $15 an hour.
Yeah.
I was reading plans. I knew all the codes. I was framing houses. And, I was a skilled, drove a truck with $2,000 worth of tools on it.
Yeah.
You're some half a fag actor who's in town with a little dippity-doo in his hair. You're 22 years old. You need to average $80 an hour? No, you don't. You're just schlepping food. You don't have anything. It didn't take you 15 years to do this. No apprentice school, no undergrad work, no nothing. I mean, I'm fine with you making a living, but you don't have to get rich. You don't have to make more than a guy who has a skill by any stretch of the imagination. Plus, you're getting phone numbers the whole time and then hanging out. You're eating for free, getting phone numbers and hanging out and getting drunk with the bartenders after you clean up. Now, I have no sympathy for these people. I'm actually jealous of them. And what else, Drew? We good?
Dominique.
All right. Dominique?
21.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Good.
I just want to tell you guys, first off, I love listening to you guys.
Thank you.
And...
Oh, wait a minute. I know what I wanted to say.
Oh, no. Here we go.
I don't like any of those jobs where the people go, the management, they survive off the tip, so you got to pay them.
Yeah.
It's like, look, you go into a nice place, the steak's $32.50. Oh, you want the broccoli flour, too? That's another $8. can't pay the guy who's bringing it to me? I got to pay him?
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah, but they don't pay him. These guys don't get paid. What a great scam.
Yeah.
I would love to run a business that went this way.
Yeah.
I don't pay my employees. So you pay me. You pay me. Then you got to pay them, too, because I don't really pay them. They wouldn't be able to survive off it. Really? I just dropped $700 at your sushi dump. You know, maybe take some of that money and pay them. This is all the money they get. Yeah, because you don't pay them. Shouldn't they pay them?
Yep, absolutely.
All right. I also don't like the fact that you can go to the IHOP or the Denny's and park for free for as long as you want, but you go over to Nobu and it's $4, and you got some Nicaraguan guy shaking you down on the curb. Nothing worse. Geez, I don't have any cash on me. What you got in the ashtray, man?
Oh.
It's like, let me fish some quarters out of it. I got like $275 here. It's all I got in change. Yeah, that's not going to do it. It's like, we just spent $1,200 in the restaurant. Yeah, we're not affiliated. You're not affiliated? You're standing out front parking people's cars. You're going into the restaurant. I wish the restaurant would just pay for those people.
Of course.
All right. Don't get me going, Drew. Don't get me started, Dominique. Yeah, we don't pay them, so you're going to have to pay them.
I totally agree.
Yeah, that Sprite, that's $9. You understand, we don't pay them. Really? Okay. It's a great scam. We all buy into it.
I know.
You know, your wife's always sitting there going, you're just going to leave 20? You know, that's all the money they get. I know, because no one pays them. We got to pay. What do you want to do? Should we pay for the car insurance, too? What else do we need to pay for these guys? All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. I had a question about postpartum depression, or I guess just depression in general.
Mm-hmm.
I was a teenage mother. I'm 21 going on 22. I have a 6-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
And I am in the minority because I finished school. I'm getting my BS in 2 months.
Great.
And I did go to community college for 2 years, and it was good. But then I transferred to UCSB, and it was much better.
You have a 6-year-old?
Yes.
Wow. All
right, great.
Yeah. He's going to be 7 in December. But I guess...
Hold on. December's too far away for you to be talking about when he's going to be 7.
That's kid talk.
Well, it's just
he's 6 and a half.
I guess when people have kids, you know...
Yes, yes, you talk that way.
He's
going
to be 7 and 9 and a half months. He's closer to 6.
He's
closer to 5 than he is to 7, you know.
His birthday is December 1st, so he's 6 and a half next month.
When my
he's 178 weeks old.
My kid's birthday is in November, and I started talking about them as being the next age in around August.
How old is your kid? He's 4,028 and a half weeks old. Boy, I never know how old that is. He's 27 weeks. He's in high school? He's in high school, right, for sure? Dominique?
So what's the question?
Okay, so I'm not sure if it's like postpartum depression from when my son was born or...
Postpartum is within the first year of delivery.
Okay, because... and then I have a blood disorder. It's called sickle beta thalassemia.
Yeah. She has sickle trait.
Well, see, my mother has the thalassemia trait.
Yeah.
And my father has a sickle trait.
Right.
And I got like a combination of
the two. It's called sickle thal. So.
Yeah.
What do you got to be? Everyone got to be black or someone's got to be black?
Well,
what do you
my
get?
My dad is Puerto Dad's Rican and black, and my mom is Puerto Rican.
Oh, my God. The hurdles you've had to overcome. Shocking.
And, okay, so
one's Puerto Rican and black, and the other part's Puerto Rican?
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out the part that got her to finish college.
Nice.
I'm going to look into this. I got to get my racial color wheel out and figure out what's going on with you.
All right, okay, so what's the question?
I am depressed, I guess, or have anxiety attacks. I'm not sure which one it is.
Okay.
And
do you have Do you have a drug history?
No.
Are you on any medication?
Just the pain meds I take for my pain crisis. And I don't take those.
Pain crisis?
Sickle crisis.
Oh, I see.
How often are the sickle crisis?
Maybe about twice a month.
Mm. So that stuff could be working against you. Plus, God knows the chronic illness can affect you, too.
Why don't you do something on campus?
mean, like support group?
No, I mean, yeah, go talk to a counselor. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You should have. I mean, many people with sickle disease get some sort of antidepressant treatment.
What's sickle mean, really?
Sickle cell disease.
I know, but what's the sickle part come in?
The red blood sickles form sickles.
Blood sickles?
They're blood sickles. They're sickle shaped. They're just half moon shaped. And they get clogged in the capillaries and cause a lot of pain, the restriction of
life. Why only black people get sickle cell?
Because in the many, many years of evolution, it turned out that people with sickle don't get malaria. And malaria is endemic in Africa. And so the people with the sickle traits survived better.
Uh-huh. So thousands of years and generations, the people who did not have the sickle cell
died of malaria
in Africa.
Yeah.
So now it's just become, you'd have to come from Africa.
Yeah.
Interesting. I never knew that. All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey. Love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Just finishing my rant with Drew about how I hate waiters and waitresses and they don't have to average $180 an hour.
There's something stuck to your head, too.
Yeah, that's my brain, buddy.
You aware of that?
Get used to it. Oh, I got a Post-it stuck to my head.
That's nice.
I mean, when I'm thinking,
you put a Post-it
on
your
paper
head.
Like a magnet. All right, so I was yapping about that.
The parking?
Yeah, I hate the parking. Mm. I hate the valet. The more expensive, the restaurant, the more expensive the valet. The other thing that drives me nuts, as I was saying, is they don't pay waiters and waitresses, so it's up to us to pay for them.
Yeah.
So you just drop $170 for you and the old lady to have a nice dinner, and now you got to pay for the guy, too.
Ugh.
The one that drives me the most nuts on that, and there's a handful of these jobs, it's diabolical. They don't pay. The employer does not pay the employee, so we have to.
Uh-huh.
It's the massage, the masseuse.
Yeah.
I don't get them, but my wife and all her cronies do. And it's always like, how much is it? It's $110.
And a customary
time. It takes an hour. Yeah. All right, it's $110 an hour. No materials? You know, little canola oil. I mean, there's nothing, not much. It's not like you're using, it's not like you're going through $80 worth of carbon fiber or anything like that. You know, there's no materials. So it's like, it's like $100 for an hour. All right, that sounds like enough. Well, then you got to tip them $30.
Yeah.
Why? Well, because they don't get paid. I mean, they get the tip. They get a small hourly thing, but the house keeps all the money. Well, my thing is like, that's between them and the house. Because you're paying $100 for like 45 minutes worth of rubdown. Shouldn't the house just give them $50 and keep 50 and everyone be happy? No, they don't get paid. Really? This is a great scam. I got to do this, Drew.
I know.
I got to get some employees. I got to farm them out for $100 an hour and then say I don't pay them, so you got to pay them. And that $20 you pay them, that'll be the $20 they make an hour.
That's right.
I'll just keep the $100.
That's right.
That's for the canola oil and the fresh towel.
Oh, it's the overhead.
And the flip-flops. Yeah. That's going to run something. All right. Yeah. You got it. I don't like it. Drew, am I right or am I right?
You're right.
That's the one thing Drew and I agree on. Mm-hmm. Really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, $100 an hour. Got to give a nice tip.
Yes, sir, Miss Grohl.
Lorenzo, you're 18? No.
Lorenzo, gone.
He just sounds like he's gone completely.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Kristen, who's 22. Kristen?
That's me.
What's up?
Oh, nothing much, guys. I just want to let you know that I've been listening to you since I was in sixth grade.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, wow. That's right.
Wow.
Anyway... So, you know what? You just keep me coming back, so you're doing a good job. Congratulations with everything.
Thank you.
Why, sure. Anyway, my question is, I'm 22 and I've never had a really serious relationship before. And the thing is, I really don't know why. I just went to a wedding in Missouri where my cousins I haven't seen in 10 years, and, you know, they just married, and it was just the strangest thing, you know?
All right.
What was strange?
Just strange. Never been in a serious relationship.
Or you wanted to be in one?
Well, you know what? I haven't been adverse to one. I'm not going to be like, you know, wedding or anything.
Well, you're...
What does that mean?
I don't know. Listen, Kristen, you're a smart girl, but you're a little bit...
Fat.
No, Drew. Yes? Fat? No, you're not angry, but you're a little bitter.
I am a little bit bitter, but only just because I've been thinking about it recently.
Okay, so you got a little energy.
And so what is the issue? Why aren't guys...
You know, I don't know. I'm not, you know... Ugly.
Yeah.
But I'm not, like, you know, the hottest chick on the block.
Uh-huh. I like when people do this. I like when they go, I'm not ugly, but I'm not the hottest woman in the universe. I like where you go. I always get suspicious when I hear that, too. Like, there's too much exaggeration there. All right, so, Chris, there's nothing wrong with you physically.
Right.
Yeah. All right, where's your dad?
Oh, dad's at home.
Do you meet guys?
Girl, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's too picky.
Oh, you're too picky.
Right.
No, I'm really not.
You're not too picky.
I mean, I probably had kisses in my entire life.
Had what?
I probably had 3 kisses in my entire life.
Well, yeah, that
means
pretty
you might be picky.
You're fat.
True, please.
No, I don't know what it is. Only thing I can think of is that I'm an only child.
All right, hold on a second.
She can't hear us even.
Well, I don't know. We said you were too picky, and then she said...
I'm picky.
I've only had 2 kisses yeah. in my whole life, and I don't know what she meant by that. Did she mean that guys didn't try to kiss her, or...
Yeah.
And, Drew, don't tug on your coat. You make me nervous, because equipment here is so goddamn crappy. Kristen?
Yeah?
Okay, so Drew said you were picky, and you
I'm
said...
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Drew said you were picky.
I'm picky?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you said you'd only been kissed 3 times.
Right.
That was your response to my saying you were picky.
Well, I'm sorry. Maybe I misunderstood, but my response meant that no one's ever tried except for 3 people.
Really?
Yeah.
But okay. maybe you're putting out a vibe, you know.
Yeah,
you're sort of
stay away.
Yeah.
You're smart?
Yes.
Yes?
I'm sorry. My phone's cutting out. I apologize.
All right. Okay. Listen, hey, number one, we gotta have good connections. The cell phones. Hey, if someone's on a cell phone, put cell phone on there. I don't know if you do or not, and I don't know if it says it on there, but I want to know. It could mean take them early, or it could mean not take them at all. But please tell everybody if they can possibly do it to get on the landline and to pick it up and all that kind of get off the speaker and do all this. So I can't. 1 out of every 2.5 connections is bad on this show. That's way too high an average. Shouldn't it be like 1 out of every 300 calls is a horrible connection? It's every other goddamn call on this show. It can't happen that way. Lisa?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Mm.
Connection sounds bad.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I hear the hostility, though. Yeah, what's up?
Hello.
Hello.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Dr. Drew?
Yep, what kind of phone are you on?
I'm on a cell phone.
Oh.
You are.
Yeah.
Ironic.
Sorry, that's all I have.
You don't have a landline at your home?
No, I don't.
Wow.
Wow. That either means you're super cool or super loser. I'm going to go with the latter.
The latter?
Well, the former.
Okay.
Latter. No, the latter. Yeah. But it'd be the former to the last one I said.
You say ladder, Lisa, and she's thinking about something you step up and you know, get off the ground on. So it's latter, L-A-T-T-E-R, the latter.
We're coming undone here. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I want to say, Adam, I like you because you tell people how it is and you like to speak your mind.
All right, shut up.
Whatever.
What's going on? What's the question?
Okay, my question is, I've had the last 3 relationships I've had. The first one was abusive. The second one was okay, I guess. The third one got a little bad. And the one I'm in now is just really not working all that well, I guess, because I haven't talked to him in almost a week. And for some reason, I'm attracted to guys who play in bands. You still there?
We're listening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Attracted to guys who play in bands because all my boyfriends have been in a band for some, you know, playing guitar or whatever. But I was also wondering why they were abandoning me, if it had anything to do with my parents leaving.
Yes, you're a lesbian. You choose abandoning unavailable guys. You don't realize that's what you're choosing, but that's what you're choosing.
And guys in bands are going to be unavailable because they're going to be on the road.
Yeah. Guys in bands are not known for monogamy. That's not sort of the image that comes to mind immediately when I think about band members.
Wouldn't be a bad name for a band, though. Probably get a lot of chicks.
Monogamy, yeah.
Yeah.
Diabolical.
I probably have to call yourself like Monogamy UK or something. Diabolical Monogamy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Be a good name for a band. All right, so Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
See if you can find a guy who's not in a band.
Okay, and my other question is the guy I'm seeing now, he's not talking all that much. You know, he don't I don't know, he gets in these moods where he don't talk
yeah.
at all.
Well, very exciting and very attractive.
Yeah.
Wonder if that had anything to do with, like, his family or, you know, the way he is because he's a musician.
You said, you hadn't spoken to him in, like, a week, right?
It'll be a week this Saturday.
Plus, he doesn't talk, see?
Okay.
She calls, but he doesn't speak.
Lisa, maybe this isn't the right guy for you.
Okay.
All right? That's all I'm going to say. You guys aren't talking.
These are sort of antisocial guys you're going for. They're not known for stability in relationships.
Yeah.
Quite the contrary.
And part of it, too, is they just don't care. They're not treating you with that much respect. Guys will pull it together. You know what I mean? If there's a really hot chick, they'll dance.
Yeah.
And if the chick's just sort of around and they're sort of half into them and they're in a band and they're into other chicks, too, they don't put so much effort forth.
Right.
Everyone, just think about the way you act. When you meet some celebrity or some model or somebody you respect, as opposed to just some jack-off guy who is a friend of your brother's. You know, do you stand up when they come in the room and hop up and shake their hand or anything? Or you just sit there on the sofa and nod at them? That's what this guy does with Lisa.
Or brew like you guys do.
Yeah. That's right. I'm not going to dignify that with an answer. Alyssa?
Yes.
You're 24?
I am 24.
What's up?
I just want to know why cum stings when it gets in your eye.
Anything shot in your eye with any kind of velocity is going to hurt.
It doesn't necessarily have to be velocity. It's just that when the liquid actually comes in contact with your eye,
yeah,
it burns.
Well, it's got some salt in it, right? Drew, what burns her eye?
I'm just
salt.
Well, first of all. Yeah, it's the pH and the salt content, the concentration of these various things in the eye as opposed to... But I mean, it's not something I know formally. You know what I mean?
You never taken a shot?
Yeah, why would there be a reason for someone to know that formally? Except I will tell you that there are STDs you can get in the eye from getting stuff in the eye. Most significantly, chlamydia, gonorrhea. And if it really stings and starts to discharge, that could be an STD.
No, I'm just talking about casually for a few seconds.
Oh, just casual cum in the eye? Okay.
Right. Like, let's just say you met a guy on the bus.
Yeah, and just, you know, whips it out, smack, right in the eye. Ah, it burns. No.
Yeah. Well, look at it this way. Pee-pee stings your eye, too, right?
Exactly.
I've actually never had
vinegar.
Everything. Your finger touches your eye, it stings, you know?
Nothing feels good in your eye.
Yeah.
That's true.
Okay.
Except completely inert things, which are balanced to, you know, be exactly what your eye is used to.
Yeah.
Saline.
Yeah. All right.
Even Visine, I guess, actually
stings
a little bit.
Yeah, of course.
All right, there you go. You use that to wash out the semen, right?
Actually, I go for clear eyes, but hey.
All right, there. Oh, you a hasher?
No.
Yeah, you smoke a little weed, though, right?
No, no laugh.
Every now and then.
Now and then.
No.
Most of people, that whole eye drop thing, I never got into it. And then I realized a lot of stoners are into it.
The Visines and that stuff are really bad for your eyes.
Are they?
Yeah, they constrict the blood vessels.
Yeah.
And that tends to restrict oxygen supply to the cornea. It can cause all kinds of problems.
Mm. Yeah, I never got into it. I just thought, what if I like it?
Visine?
One more thing I got to carry around with me.
The knowledge that you like eye drops?
No, what I'm saying is
use it all the time, I see.
I went down this slippery slope with ChapStick. I managed to make it like 28 years without ever using ChapStick, and then one day I try some ChapStick, and I walk 10 feet, and I use more ChapStick, and then I walk 3 feet, and I stop, and I got to get my ChapStick. And the next thing you know, it's like, hey, I can't leave the house. Where's my ChapStick? And I'm giving myself a constant ChapStick rub now. Become hooked on ChapStick. It's my heroin. I got to chase the ChapStick dragon. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a bad thing.
I could have warned you before you got going down that path.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I'd like a little heads up with the nose picking, too.
Yeah, but you got a problem with that.
I actually hurt my nose picking it today. Such aggressive nose picking that I may have done damage to my nostril.
Caused a hole in your septum or scraped off the lining.
Yeah, it's like...
Oh, that's nice.
What, were you pretty heavily into Coke for many years? No, I picked my nose when I tried.
It caused a hole.
I hurt my nostril today.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I do my best thinking with my finger in my nose. Krista?
Hi.
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up?
I just have to say you guys are hysterical.
Oh, good times, man.
And I am calling from a landline.
Oh, great. What's up?
Crappy landline, but one nonetheless. All right.
Well, here's my situation. I've been single for about a few years now. My last relationship was pretty serious, but...
You're fat. Keep
I'm
going.
Sorry?
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You're gay.
It turned bad. So, at any rate, I met this new guy, and we've been seeing each other for a while, and there's a lot of sexual tension between the two of us. We both really want to have sex with each other, but we want to take things slow, and we don't want to have a lot of partners in our lives, sexual partners. And so I don't really know where to go from here. I mean...
Third base.
Wait, I'm confused. How long have you been dating him?
A few months.
She doesn't want to rack up any kind of sexual numbers, except for she's with a guy she's really into.
Had it gone through a period where you were promiscuous?
Yeah.
Okay, so you go through a thing where you're with lots of guys, and now that you have a real relationship, no sex.
Got to punish him.
Got to withhold
Look,
the sex.
Let's just free Chris up. There's nothing wrong with you. This guy's a good guy.
There might be something wrong with her.
No. You're fine. You're into the guy. He's into you, right?
Yeah, it seems that way. Like, I met him online, and the first time we met, I really didn't expect him to call me back, and he did. And he told me that I looked great, and that things were, like, really nice and really sweet, and he wanted to get together again. And so he's coming over tomorrow.
Where does he live? How far from you?
About 2 hours.
All right.
So we only see each other maybe once a week.
Okay.
Over a few months.
Yeah.
He's coming over tomorrow to stay for the weekend or something?
No, he usually lives out in Long Beach and I live in Van Nuys.
Oh, a few hours? That's 25 minutes away.
No, not really. It's far.
Okay, listen. San Diego is how far past Long Beach.
Yeah. San Diego is 2 hours from Van Nuys. Okay?
Right.
All right, Long Beach is...
An hour.
You're fat.
40 minutes.
Okay.
It's not that far.
Okay.
I'd drive it if there was some oral at the end of the highway. Okay. Look, here's the thing. You like the guy.
Uh-huh.
He likes you.
Uh-huh.
Feel free to proceed cautiously with the relationship.
I'm worried there's some sexual compulsion here because she goes through this phase of intense activity and then becomes depriving.
Anything happen? You ever get raped or sexually abused or anything like that?
When I was younger, I was molested by my therapist.
Oh, my God. How old were you?
I was about 7.
Wow. Oh, my God.
And my mom beat me when I was little.
Oh, my God.
So your therapist molested you?
Therapy, yeah.
And your therapist had sex with you?
No, he would just touch me.
I'm a rapist.
Like, Drew, please.
But then when I was about... A year ago, I was involved with a date rape.
Yeah.
I got drunk and passed out, and he raped me.
And that's where she's shut down.
Okay, but how old were you when the therapist did this?
7.
I was about 7, maybe 6.
And he would just sort of fondle you?
Yeah, and I told my mom that he would put his arm around me, and it felt really uncomfortable. And so I saw him for about a year, and then I was just like, I can't do it anymore. And so I totally rebelled. And my parents got me a new therapist, a female therapist, who I saw all the way up until the age of 16, 17.
Did you report to her what had happened with the other one?
No.
Why were you seeing a therapist at age 6?
Because my mom was abusing me.
Okay.
All right.
Not sexually, just physically.
Is it possible you were misinterpreting some of the things this guy was doing? Because since you had been abused, maybe everything felt like an intrusion?
No, because he would put his hand on my pants.
All right. I can't misinterpret that.
No, not really.
Well, there's certain more aggressive forms of experimental therapy.
Ugh.
I'm going to perform some of that on myself when I get home tonight.
And you never told the second therapist what this guy had done?
No, I never really told my parents either.
Do you want to maybe go after this guy? Do the public a favor?
I don't even remember what his name was.
Oh. All right, but Krista, you're going through this. Let's focus on you for a second. You're going through this thing of sexual compulsion, and that's what happens. You go through this flurry of activity, and then you get deprived, and you start withholding. And all of it is a way of sort of avoiding real intimacy, and now you're with a guy that you could be intimate with, and, of course, now no sex.
All right.
So you kind of move forward.
Maybe find a new therapist.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say – I don't count myself as raped by a therapist, but I have canceled without 24 hours notice and been charged $90 bucks.
Yeah.
And I consider that a form of rape light.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a mild raping.
But this raping you deserved?
No. I don't like that 24 hours BS. You should be able to do it in like 20 minutes.
I don't like the speed limits.
All right. Karen? Karen? It's funny. I now know people have dropped off the line when I don't hear static when we punch them up. Karen couldn't have fallen asleep. She's been on hold for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
Karen? All right. Let's talk to Ricky. Ricky?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yeah, sure am.
You did speed for, Drew moved the screen as I was reading it.
Actually, I'm 1,200 weeks old.
Ah, you did the math.
Yeah, I had to do it out for you, man.
All right, so you have a speed-related question?
Yeah, actually, the thing is, before I start, I just want to say about the little quote that you had about the waiters and stuff and the tip.
Mm-hmm.
Take some damn typing classes. Don't put your financial problems on my tab.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right on, brother.
So
he gets a Diablo sandwich, Mr. Pibb, and he orders the Mr. Pibb Mountain Dew Suicide and some chili fries, and this guy wants 80 cents. Kiss my black ass.
There you go.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, take
him
to damn typing classes, huh?
That's right. Take them typing classes.
Or something, huh? My question was to Dr. Drew, the thing was, I started messing around with the speed thing about a year now.
Yeah.
Summer actually it was. And I just started out doing it here and there type deal so I could perform a little bit longer when I'm having sex with my old lady.
Wait. Just I'm gonna listen to music for a second. So you began using speed to prolong your performance in bed?
Yeah, exactly.
Speed was going to do that for you.
Yeah,
you can't orgasm.
Can't have an orgasm. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there are safer ways to do that if you're going to take pharmacological approaches.
But I hear you. But the thing is, you know, I tried it out, and then when I started having sex, I realized that, shit, I'm lasting longer because of what I smoked right before I came over here. You know what I mean?
Smoke so, speed?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right. He's calling from Bakersfield. It's probably the mayor of Bakersfield. He's not tipping. He's only smoking speed. He's not shooting it.
Yeah,
isn't that how it works in Bakersfield? Like, if you live in Bakersfield and you mainline speed, you're in the cabinet, you're in the mayor's cabinet, but you don't actually get to be the mayor. The guys who smoke the speed, now they're up for election.
Mm. There.
All right. So what is your question?
And I'm just saying, like last few months, like, my time though having sex is dropped down back to regular.
Down to regular. Okay,
yeah,
and you're still smoking the speed.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, you're going to have to stop smoking the speed, Ricky.
Yeah.
It damages your brain, okay, speed? Knocks
up. His line is perfect, but you can't understand a word he's saying.
Yeah, the static's coming from his
finally, we have a perfect
central
line
nervous system.
Yeah.
it causes destruction of the limbic system.
Yeah.
Memory problems ensue. It's tons of problems with this drug. It's an awful drug and profoundly addictive. Even though it seems like it's kind of no big deal, just smoking it 3 times a week, something like that. It is. When you start thinking, what? Can I ask him?
No. Ask him what?
Ricky.
Yeah.
Do you think that people are thinking about you and talking about you? Do you get those kinds of thoughts once in a while?
No, I'm good to go. I'm
all right, you will. You will.
No, always
you
right. Will. You always ban 1,000.
He will.
Okay. We got to take a break. I got to Matt real fast. Matt?
Yeah.
You're a waiter?
I'm actually a waiter bartender.
And you say I'm wrong that your employers do pay you.
Well, the federal law says that tipped employees can have a minimum wage of between $213 and $225 an hour. I think it just went up. But $225 an hour maximum.
Oh, I see.
But because of workmen's compensation laws and unemployment insurance, almost all wait staff are part-time. We only work between 4 and 5 hours, 3 or 4 shifts per week.
Right.
So we're expected to make as much as a normal person would in a 40-hour work week.
This is the argument that the commercial actors use that you like so much.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's like when those ferries were on strike a few years ago, the SAG or AFTRA or whatever other crappy union I was forced to join if you want to work in this business. People are like, how can you sell out your own union? It's like, listen, how could someone sell out Stalin, who was living in the Soviet Union at the time? It's like, no, you were forced to join this group. Okay, but here's the old, yes, this point is these... These pussies like Tim Robbins are up there going, well, these actors, they only work once or twice a year. They have families to support. Oh, I see. So they choose to show up to work twice a year, so they got to make their nuts. So you got to pay them $50,000 a day. Is that it? To stand in the background and dance on a Jeep that's parked in the sand for a KFC commercial? You could get any monkey to do this. They got to make enough to support their family for a year. No, that's not how it works. They got to get a job. And it's the same with you lazy waiters. We got to make what you guys, you're lucky. You get to work a 50-hour week. We have to make what you make in 10 hours. Oh, really? Boy, I didn't know how cursed your life was. So instead of making 10 bucks an hour, you got to make 50 an hour. Yeah. And now how is he rebutting my comment?
He's not. He actually was making
They're not
it
even
worse.
Making minimum wage.
He was making it worse, actually.
You guys get $2 an hour, right?
That's right.
And all right. Who pays you the $2 an hour?
Well, basically what my point was is most of us are working night times. This is the only job we can get to put ourselves through school.
Oh, who cares?
So, until...
Again, who cares?
Call your congressman.
Listen, here's your whole point is we got other stuff to do other than work.
Beat
so we need
more.
To get paid a ton.
Beat them up more when we come back.
All right. We got to take a break. Do you understand this argument, everybody? The argument is, listen, I'm going out on auditions during the day. I'm doing some modeling gigs. I'm going out for this. I'm doing that. I go to school. I only work a few hours at night. Hey, I got to pay the bills. So I'm going to need a couple $100 cash every night. That's great.
Well, the other thing is he's making the point that we're making is the employer should be, whatever it is, the employer should be picking it up.
Employers don't even pay these guys minimum wage. Yeah. Pay them $2 an hour. The F is that? And we'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Blop. All right. We got to get out of here with Matt. Hey, Matt.
I'm here.
Your waiter.
Yes, sir.
All right. We're done with you.
Okay.
I know your point was, I don't know what your point was. My point is employers should pay their waiters, not me.
I agree 100%. And my point was that until the laws are changed, call your congressman. Complain to the people that own the restaurants. But the person who's hurt when you leave the table with a short tip is the waiter.
Right. So do you think that the basic sort of hourly wage for a waiter could be controlled through legislation or improved through legislation?
The minimum wage for everybody else is, yes, and it's the law that the minimum wage for tips.
Yeah, but let's say the minimum wage for a waiter is $15 an hour. We don't have to tip anymore?
No.
Good.
I would gladly work for $7 an hour if I could get an 8-hour shift working at night. I would work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week working at night so I could
really?
Put myself through school. But
you
how
got...
many night jobs are there out there?
You can work at a gas station. Hold on, where are we now, Drew?
Night.
But where are we?
Los Angeles.
I know, but we're at work, jackass.
Yes, yes.
Night.
No,
Frankenstein?
I was trying to get at what you were getting at, what you're working at night. I got the night part.
Partying.
I've been working. Oh, Jesus.
I think I've, you know, remember, when I tell you, I lost my groove.
Yeah, you got it back?
I think I'm winning it back a little.
Yeah, yeah. No, no, hey.
No, it's not bad. TJ?
It's not good.
Yes.
Well, it's never good. TJ, you're 26.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I'm a really big fan of the show.
Great.
I just want to let you know that every time I drive home from work, I listen to you guys. You guys are hilarious.
Thanks, CJ.
Anyways, I heard you guys talking about...
semen in the eye.
The semen in the eye and why it stings. And I'm a former student at UC Berkeley, and I think I know why.
All right.
There's an enzyme that I learned that's on the top of the sperm, which helps it... go into the
No. That wouldn't. That's for capacitance, so the sperm can penetrate the egg.
Well,
but
what's
that's activated.
Mean?
It's how the egg is penetrated.
How
by
it
the sperm.
Burrows into the egg.
Yeah. But no, that enzyme is activated and as it hits.
Well, maybe he thinks the eyeball's the egg instead of burrow in. Hey, it's an interesting hypothesis, TJ.
Yeah. It's just an enzyme that breaks down protein. So I just thought maybe it might be doing the same thing. That's why it might sting.
All right. Appreciate that.
I don't know.
So, Drew.
Yeah.
Sperm is coated with something.
Sperm is the head of the sperm has all kinds of specialized function that get it to find the egg.
Right.
Get to it, beat all the other sperm out, and then penetrate, and then get through, and then get in. There's multiple steps to that.
How do you mean get through and get in?
The egg has a big shell around it. It has to be able to penetrate that.
Really?
Yeah.
A shell?
Basically, yeah. I mean, it's not. Calcium shell,
it's
but
it's got to get to the nougaty center.
That's right.
Wow.
And it has all kinds of specialized biological functions to get it through. And there's several impairments that it can create. Some of the reasons people have fertility problems, that the sperm doesn't capacitate normally. And
why does the egg need to protect itself so much? It wants healthy sperm?
Yeah, wants the sperm.
Got to put a little battle so only the strong can get through there?
Exactly.
Boy.
And also the sperm fight it out with one another to find, you know, only one gets through.
I wonder which one of my sperm won. I think the weak one won. I think it was one of those situations you see once in a while, like in a tough man competition, where the tough guy actually loses on a sneak punch.
That caused you?
I don't feel like I'm the number one sperm.
Yeah, but think of the other Corolla sperm.
Oh.
See what I'm saying? I mean, just think about the Corolla sperm.
I know.
They all had,
coats with elbow
pads on them. They were smoking, you know, pipes. And your sperm was the one had a tool bag around its belt and was doing some business.
Yeah. So, I mean, my family is really borderline retarded. I mean, if you're, you know, my dad, I was talking to my dad the other day, and I said, I was telling him all about this. He said, I heard you did that car race. And I said, yes, I did that Toyota Grand Prix race a few weeks back. And he said, And I said, yeah, it was exciting because all the cars, you know, they had the roll bars, the cage, the fire suppression, they were all tuned up, but they were all equally prepared. So it made for exciting racing. And he said, did you drive your car? I said, no, Dad.
Once again.
Dad, once again. Yeah. I was driving the 350Z, and I had a good advantage on that Josh Brolin because he had a Suburban. Kids, child seats in there, rolling around in the back. I think he may have had his kids and a load of groceries in the back. So I was able to pull him on the straights. But, of course, you know, he has a 6,000-pound vehicle, so he was able to, you know, push me around in the curves just a little bit. Buzz Aldrin was driving
module.
A golf cart.
Lunar module.
Yeah, I was driving a lunar module. Peekaboo Street. She was driving skis, rocket skis. We all had our own form of transportation out there trading paint. Yeah, they went ahead and put a fire bottle in my car, Dad. That's just it. Harness, net, and everything. You understand my family is may be retarded.
I know.
Okay.
From your mouth.
All right. To God's ears. Jen?
This is Jen.
That's right, Jen.
No, with an A.
Jan, uh-oh. We better improve that attitude, Jan.
All right. Drew saw where my finger was.
I grabbed it before it hit the hold button, so let's go.
What's up?
Okay. I met this guy when I was 25. He told me he had herpes. I was okay with it. I researched it. We fell in love, blah, blah, blah. 10 months later, we broke up. We didn't talk for about 6 months. We started talking again. Then we started sleeping together again, and all of a sudden he decided to move. A week before he moved, he had an outbreak due to stress, and I ended up getting herpes.
You had sex with him while he was having an outbreak?
Well, he didn't know.
I see.
He didn't, because he was under so much stress, he was on a cyclovirin, and so he didn't know
He had an outbreak in spite of being on Zovirax?
No, I mean, he does take it all the time, but apparently he had one and he was unaware.
He had an outbreak in spite of being on Zovirax?
No.
He didn't have an outbreak?
He did.
He had an outbreak in spite of being on acyclovir?
Right.
How many times did I have to say that before she answered my question?
No.
Yeah.
No. Ah, screw you. I'm tired of Jan. Such corrects me 10 times right out of the box and then arguing with Drew. What Drew's saying is he was on suppression therapy, right?
For the virus, yes.
Some people take that stuff
all the time.
If they feel an outbreak coming on or they're having an outbreak, and other people who have a bad case of it take it constantly.
Yeah.
I've seen the commercials. They're kickboxing.
Yeah.
They're having a good time.
Uh-huh.
All right. I don't know what Jen's question was. Do you?
Up on the board, it says something about having a relationship. How does she get a relationship, even though she has herpes now?
So you're not with this guy anymore?
Correct.
Okay, and now you want to have a relationship.
Right.
That's fine.
Same way he was able to have one.
Yeah.
But I actually have dated a couple people, and as soon as I was really honest with them and said, well, I have this, they pretty much gave me some bullshit.
Oh, please. Jan is angry.
Oh, yeah.
Jan's like a world-class cooze. And the reason the guys are dropping her is because she's a bitch. Because of the herpes.
If a guy was really into her, that he would deal with it just the way she dealt with it with her boyfriend.
Listen, people really into you, they'll date you if you got HIV.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely. All right. Jan.
Yes.
You're a pain in the ass. That's why they drop you. It's not because of the herpes.
Actually, I'm not. I'm kind of bitter now because of the fact, because it was recently that...
No, you've been bitter for a long time.
No, I've been depressed for a long time.
Okay, well, your depression comes across as anger.
The irritability and stuff and hostility from the depression, you're projecting that.
So look into all that stuff. And then don't worry about the dating right now. Focus on the depression. Get yourself in a little better place. And it'll be fine. Find a guy who's into you. He's into you.
Just the way you
herpes
dealt with...
Herpes and all.
Yeah, you dealt with this guy's herpes. Somebody will deal with yours. It's not that big a deal.
All right?
Okay.
Hey, good time, so.
I'm not going to satisfy you with a laugh, even, Adam. How dare you?
Now, what is going on? That we just talked to Jan, who up on the screen it said Jen, and that's why we mispronounced it. And now we have someone else named Jen. And how many Jens do we talk to a year on this show?
Look how many mics are on the screen.
Three mics and a Jen.
Full house.
Hey, Jen.
Hello.
You're 19.
Yes, I'm 19.
Oh, I like you so much better than the evil Jen.
Oh.
Jan. Evil Jan.
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay.
Whatever.
Me and my roommates were kind of curious about if marijuana affects, or if after you smoke marijuana for like a long period of time and then you go to quit, if it can cause like insomnia or sleeplessness.
Yeah, there's a whole withdrawal syndrome associated with pot, and insomnia is a big part of it. Irritability, moodiness, a lot of depression, suicidal ideation, well above and beyond the degree of depression. In other words, you may not feel that depressed, but you'll just start preoccupying about killing yourself. That's a strange kind of side effect this drug causes. And then a lot of craving and a lot of irritability.
Anything you stop screws with your sleep.
Right.
Well, when you've been sleeping, it's a downer. And then your brain sort of compensates for that. And then when you remove it, it's all those counter-regulatory mechanisms are there.
That's why you can't quit.
Okay, so even if you have like no, you know, previous signs of depression or whatever, it can still cause that.
Stopping. If you smoke pot long enough, it will make you depressed in essentially 100% of cases. But if you don't have the depression and you stop abruptly, you can get depressive symptoms then.
Right. Okay.
You need to be sort of followed if you're a marijuana addict. It's a very pernicious drug.
All right, but good times.
Good times, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. See, there you go. There's a nice one. She's one of our nice scholars.
Yeah.
Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yeah. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Who is this band?
Good Charlotte.
Good Charlotte.
Yeah. Where those guys been? We haven't seen them in a while.
It's a good song. Coming in 2 weeks?
Are they?
Yes, they is. All right. Let's talk to Mike. Mike, you're 24. What's up?
Hi, guys. Long-time listener. I've been debating whether I should call you guys and talk to you for a long time.
You made the right choice, my friend. You took the important step and called the program.
Honestly, I'm pretty scared. This is a question for Dr. Drew.
Well, you got both of us. What's up?
Well, I'm just going through a really bad breakup right now, which normally I can handle and it's okay. But
you pansy!
Yeah, I know.
And? We need those guys
after,
back too,
after
by
this
way.
Breakup, a lot of other things happen. I mean, like I feel like a whole house crashed down on me. Going through a cancer scare, found out my grandmother has Alzheimer's, a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But I've noticed that I start to go in these major mood swings that are totally, totally different. My rationality, my thinking, everything.
Tell me what happens.
Huh?
What happens?
Well, it doesn't happen when I'm with anybody. It's always when I'm alone. And I start thinking about things, but one of them is this very, very self-destructive. I mean, I'll be driving home from work, and I'll get in one of these moods, and I'll start driving 120 miles an hour down the freeway, just trying to see how fast I can take the turns, how close I can make, you know, cuts in between cars.
Okay.
That's how Drew drives every night when we leave this place.
I'm not trying to hurt myself, though.
Oh,
but, I mean, I go out walking late at nights in bad neighborhoods, or I go to the movies or something alone, and I know the only reason I'm there is to pick a fight.
Yeah.
I know that I'm looking. I mean, I'm not physically going out and starting anything, but I'm waiting for an excuse.
All right. So, what's the question?
Well, I just I don't know, I had a friend who talked to me about this. I told him, confided about them, how different they all were, and my thinking is totally completely different in all of them. And
well, this, frankly, this addicts think like this.
I know. See, that's the thing. Is, I mean, I've never touched drugs. I've never touched anything
all right,
whatsoever.
Well, all right, let's just calm down for a second here, Buckaroo. Your girlfriend dumped you how long ago?
It's about a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
Right. It's 6 weeks, so you have right to be upset.
How long were you guys together?
8 months, but the thing is, we had a really amazing relationship.
And, all right, now listen, we don't quiet down. We don't need to hear any more.
Well,
this is
actually, I think if I can explain, it might explain a little bit more why I'm going so nuts.
All right.
She's the greatest thing ever. You don't understand. We had a spiritual connection. She's the perfect one.
Oh, shut up,
Drew.
Yeah, I know. Ahead.
Honestly, no, we had some flaws and things like that, too, but, I mean, I can handle that. She broke up. I mean, she just walks in and goes, I don't love you anymore, walks out, even though 2 days before she told me how amazing we were and everything. But,
yeah.
You know, I can handle that. But she keeps going back and forth, telling me she needs me, she wants to be with me, da-da-da, over and over again.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, within 1 month, every feeling that she had for me, we're supposed to be in love and planning marriage, dried up and completely goes, now she's engaged to be married to some other guy.
To be married. Okay, but listen, Mike.
She's nuts.
Mike, listen to me.
Yeah.
Couple things. First off, you added nothing with that diatribe. I know these things.
Well, in fact, you've taken away from the possibility that this relationship had any reality to it, any real substance.
Believe it or not, that's the best thing that could have happened.
Yes, absolutely.
She is a nutty girl. You are nutty when you're around her, and nutty people make you feel nutty, and they actually do turn you nutty temporarily.
Yes.
You're a guy who's not nutty, who's been turned a little inside out by a screwy, chaotic broad. She is going to get married, and she will make this other guy nutty, believe you me.
Or he'll abuse her.
Yes. And somebody, if someone knows what the believe you me comes from and who the a-hole who invented that horrible saying was, please call the show. I'd like to punch him in the nuts, believe you me. She's doing you a favor. Believe you me. Okay? Now, it's painful. It's horrible. You're 24. This is exactly how you're supposed to feel when you've been through the spin cycle at age 24. Man, you got energy. You got adrenaline. You have anger.
It's just how you're managing the depression. It's with thrill and, and aggression.
This is all fine. The point is you have to make it through the next couple of tough months without doing any permanent damage, and that includes physically to yourself, to anybody else, or ending up in jail, or getting hooked on heroin. We haven't given this speech in a while, Drew.
Mm.
I'm going to give it now.
All right, ready.
Believe you me, Drew, when I say. no. When you get really screwed over in life, I mean, when you get dumped on, male or female, but especially males, because males young males are more proactive.
Energetic.
They're aggressive.
Energetic.
They'll do something about it. Women sit home, double down on the Häagen-Dazs, and finger bang herself until her hand falls off.
Jesus Christ.
It's true, Drew. I've seen the after-school specials.
Okay.
Guys will go out. They will pick fights. They will take their car, and they'll drive 150 miles an hour until a tire blows out. They're going to fight with a cop or a crip or whoever.
Right.
You are not going to be happy during that six-month period after somebody dumps you
no matter what, and
destroys you.
Yeah.
You're not going to be happy.
Yeah.
Here's your goals.
Not kill yourself.
Don't lose a limb.
Yeah.
Don't kill yourself. Don't end up in jail for vehicular manslaughter.
Right.
Try not to pick up a couple of DUIs.
Don't get AIDS from going to prostitutes.
Don't take a swing at your pops and put them in the hospital. Don't get in a fist fight with your best friend. Don't get strung out
on
heroin. Yeah. Don't. There's nothing to do. Just don't do any permanent damage. Make it through that 6 months unscathed.
And
don't drop out of don't drop out of college. Don't quit your job.
And don't get into thinking, I got to find another girl right now. I got to go out and be with somebody else. She was the greatest thing. Nobody will have me. No one is going to be as great as her, because that's just screwed up thinking. All that thinking will pass.
You have to just sort of push through the next 6 months, and that means regimen.
Structure.
Get up in the morning.
Walk.
You're 20,
exercise,
jog.
Yeah,
you run 5 miles, take a shower before you go to work kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just keep stuff in front of you, keep stuff moving, and don't get yourself baited into those horrible ideas like, I'm just going to go park the El Camino out front of her apartment and sit here and drink beer for a while. I'm not going in. Believe me, you'll be going in after that 8th Mickey's Big Mouth.
By the same token, don't convince yourself you need to go move to Alaska.
Right.
To start again.
Yeah, don't join the service.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead,
yeah,
actually.
Join the service, yeah.
Don't do anything rash, as they
service
say.
Service might be a good solution.
That's not bad.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
Yeah, but then you're over in 6 months, and now you got 3.5 years of Uncle Sam to deal with.
Point.
All right, that's what you need to do. Whole lot of nothing. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yeah. Well, there you go. That's the show. God bless you, Drew.
God bless you, Adam.
Thanks, Prada. Okay. We're going to take an extended break. I'm going to fire up the cell phone, Drew, so we can have a nice conversation on the way home.
Excellent.
About whatever it is we didn't talk about in the commercial break. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
When you're beating off.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.